Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder with you. Some startling news.
Wait, what is this song?
Anna Kournikova.
That's the Anna Kournikova song.
I love it.
Some startling news from BuzzFeed. John Templer is one of the reporters who reported on this, and the sports world is shocked. It turns out a lot of tennis players, some of the world's greatest tennis players, may be on the take. We'll get the full story right now from John Templin. Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
John, well, I'm great. First, before anything else.
I'm appalled.
Wendy's appalled, by the way. You should know this. I'm a huge tennis fanatic. I play tennis. I watch tennis. I eat, drink, and breathe tennis. And when I saw this the other night, I saw your story there on BuzzFeed. It made me sick to my stomach. Share some of the details. What do we know right now is going on in the world of tennis?
Well, part of it is based on the 2008 report that came out that said that, it was focused on one match between Nikolai Davidenko and Martin Vassallo Arguello. But as the investigators looked at that one match, they found three syndicates in Russia, northern Italy, and Sicily that had been fixing other matches during that time. And since then, it's continued to be a problem in tennis. And people have highlighted, especially the gambling houses and watchdog gambling groups, that there are issues with tennis results and that some of them look very suspicious, either in their odds or in how things are moving pre-match. And so we've actually been talking to a number of places, and from all the information we gathered, we found that there were basically 16 players that at one point or another were ranked in the top 50 in the world that had been flagged by all of these different organizations.
So that is, if my math is correct, that's a third of the world's top players, 16 out of 50. A third of them could potentially have been on the take at some point.
Well, they're not all currently ranked in the top 50, so that's worth noting. But they're all players that were very high ranked at one point or another. Yes, and it includes a Grand Slam champion and other high-level players.
So how would this go down exactly? How would they be approached by these gambling syndicates to possibly throw a match, and then how much money would have been offered?
Yeah, well, it really depends. And there's been some interesting things said by the players now at the Australian Open where, in fact, Novak Djokovic actually spoke about how one of his support personnel were approached at one point, and he was offered, I think he said, something like $200,000 to fix a match. And that's on the high end of what we've heard from other people, but they're approached via social media, they're approached via text messaging, and the players are offered money to lose a set or to lose a match, and kind of once the bettor knows that, they're able to go put more money on it than what they're paying the player and make money.
And these are names that, see, I don't pay attention to tennis at all, and I played it in high school, and I know some of the big names, mm-hmm. Anna Kournikova, for instance, mm-hmm. and the Williams sisters, mm-hmm. but now are these people that we that don't follow tennis would know?
Well, I can't really say too much about the players because we've made the decision not to name any of them.
But that list was at some point made available to you, John, right? You saw the names yourself, right?
Yes, we've seen all the names, yes. Right. And there are players that are known for sure. There are also players who are lower down the rankings that maybe the casual fan wouldn't know.
Okay, and when you say lower down the ranks a little bit, that's at first what I thought, like you kind of have to be a Richie to play tennis, so why would they need to do this for more money? But it varies, doesn't it? I mean, lower end of the rank, they're not making a lot of money.
Well, that's exactly right, especially in either the once you get out of the top level, the upper echelon of tennis, it's hard to make as much money as you do with those top players. And it costs a lot. You're flying around the world. You need coaches. You need training. It's an expensive sport to play. So you can see where players maybe aren't making quite enough playing, they might be tempted to do something like this.
John, why the decision to not publish their names?
Yeah, it's a kind of a twofold thing. In most cases in our story, there isn't necessarily definitive proof of match fixing. There's very suspicious trends that gamblers and other people have reported to the Tennis Integrity Unit, who's in charge of policing this in tennis. And we didn't want to tar someone with that accusation if we couldn't necessarily prove it with, say, bank statements or telephone records, which are things they can request. And the other larger issue is that we wanted to just point out the fact that this exists in tennis and that tennis authorities don't seem to be doing enough to combat it. And we thought that showing the scope of the problem, the fact that there are these 16 top-ranked players that we've been shown with that have at least 70 names on it, things like that seem to point to the larger problem in tennis instead of naming one player and tarring them with this entire issue.
We've got John Templin on the line with us, a data reporter for BuzzFeed News based in New York, and co-wrote this article that Bill had brought forward to us, The Tennis Racket. Now, what's going to happen now that this has been reported? You're not naming names, so no one's being accused, but what is going to happen with the Tennis Association now?
Well, we're not sure yet. When the report first came out, the tennis authorities obviously denied that they had ever suppressed evidence, and they've been saying that they're working as vigilantly as possible to combat the problem of match fixing. And we'll see, I think, what happens now that this problem has been brought to light. It's been really interesting to watch the coverage at the Australian Open as players have spoken about their experiences, and I think that's kind of at least put a face on how this happens, and so people are more aware of it now. And I think that was a big part of what we wanted to highlight with the article.
John, when they say that they were approached, when various players have been approached, you mentioned various syndicates, gambling syndicates around the world. Was it happening here in the United States, or was it just overseas?
I haven't seen any evidence about the United States in particular. As you know, gambling rules in the United States are pretty tricky, so
yeah.
It's not as pervasive, and maybe that's why. But in the evidence we've uncovered in the last year or so when we've been working on it, I haven't seen anything about that specifically.
But you have to admit, of all the sports that are out there, I would say tennis and probably golf and maybe boxing, those would be the easiest sports to fix, because if you were trying to fix a basketball game, a hockey game, football, baseball, you'd have to get several key guys on a team. But with those sports, they're individual sports. You talk to one guy, you flash some money at him, that would seem like an easy fix, wouldn't it?
Yeah, tennis is particularly vulnerable to match fixing because it's an international game, because there are tournaments being played by, you know, an Australian player in Poland or something like that, and then it's being watched by authorities in, you know, Britain, and they're betting on markets that are in Italy or the Netherlands or something like that. I mean, it just becomes very complicated in terms of jurisdiction, and also you just need one player. So both of those things kind of contribute to the overall problem.
All right. John, I want to go on the record as telling you no one has ever approached me to try to fix a match ever. Just so you
That's
know.
That's because you're a good player.
Well, thank you.
John, do you play tennis at all?
I do not. If you looked at my other article on BuzzFeed, you might have seen that.
Just not a fan of the game. It's not for everybody. We understand. It's not for everybody. That's fine.
Well, no. I didn't see your other article.
So we also did an article just specifically about my data analysis, and there are some gifs of me playing tennis in it as well, just to liven it up. And
oh, I can't wait to see that now.
People go check that out.
We're anxious to.
I got to tell you, BuzzFeed is so hip and happening with the lists and the news and the trending stuff and all the different categories. Really a cool thing you got going on there at BuzzFeed, and I can't wait to watch you try and play tennis. Maybe I should play you, John, because I'm not a tennis player. Bill would kick both of our butts.
That'd be fun. That would be a lot of fun. John, a great job on this.
Well, thank you very much.
Really appreciate it. It's John Templin from BuzzFeed. Again, the article is called The Tennis Racket. It's still available up there on BuzzFeed. Take a look and decide for yourself. But it really did shock a lot of people in the sports world over the weekend. It really did. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then more after this. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.